Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Hot Wash After Action Book Report. I'm J.T. Patton on behalf of Shooters and Spies Thriller Writers Club. Today I'm pleased to host Kyle Mills, author of the new Mitch Rapp thriller, Order to Kill. Welcome, Kyle, and thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, the book out, Order to Kill, Mitch Rapp, I believe, number 15, is that in the series?
Yes, it is the 15th Mitch Rapp book, yeah.
Not to put you on the spot there. Can you tell us a little bit about the book? I know that there's some reviews out already, but I always like to hear it a little bit from your perspective.
Yeah, this book is about kind of the devastating effects that low oil prices and energy prices have on Russia. And the Russians are kind of cratering and need to do something to prop up oil prices, and creating chaos in the Middle East is probably the straightest line to that goal. So it pits Mitch to some extent against the Russians, which is not something Vince had done. In the past, Mitch had mostly been focused on Islamic terrorism, and this also brings in ISIS and obviously the Middle East, but it's a bit of a different kind of challenge.
And is this, you know, kind of based on some of your interests or what you've been following, or is this something that, you know, I don't know the arrangements that you have or any notes that you've had from Vince Flynn. I mean, is this, how much of it is structured for you to write versus what you think is going to be interesting to readers?
Yeah, well, no notes, no agreements, really. I just sort of run with what I want to do. And, you know, with Vince, it's kind of funny to think that he never really knew anything about ISIS or Vladimir Putin kind of coming back onto the world stage. So, you know, at some point there had to be a decision to move forward with the series. You know, Vince would have, and I just, you can't just plumb the past. I mean, thrillers, as you know, have to feel current. So I have to deal with what's going on, you know, in the world today.
Sure.
And so that's what I've kind of done. With The Survivor, it was more of finishing Vince's thought. Because the storyline from his last book hadn't finished, and it was clearly intended to continue on. But with this one, I had sort of a blank slate.
Okay. And, you know, and this isn't, you know, knocking them as a cult or anything, but, you know, there is the Vince Flynn and Mitch Rapp Nation out there. You know, some serious enthusiasts that know every, you know, little detail and, you know, have their idea of what they would like to do. I know that Mark Graney had been in some of the same position, taking over Tom Clancy, and it's really hard sometimes to keep up with the subtle nuances or things that have happened in the past in some of the books. You know, do you receive a lot of feedback from, you know, passionate fans that are saying, hey, you know, I'd really like to see X, Y, or Z, or, you know, is this really true to what Vince would have done? You know, do you have any type of direction or that point, or a lot of feedback and opinions that you receive?
Oh, definitely. Fortunately, most of it's been really, really positive. It could have gone both ways, I think. People were such huge fans of Vince's and such huge fans of the character that they were rooting for me, I think, from the beginning. They wanted the books to be good. They wanted Vince's legacy to continue on, and they wanted, you know, books about, you know, their favorite character. So I had that going for me, and I thought it might be the opposite when I took. I thought really hard as to whether I wanted to even do this, because I thought, you know, maybe people could, you know, the torches and pitchforks could come out if I take this job, but it was not the case. So yeah, I get mostly, you know, I get very few criticisms. You know, the first book, probably the biggest criticism I got was that I had made Mitch too thuggish. But I think people hadn't really thought about the arc that the character had gone through. You know, he had changed after the death of his wife, and he'd become much angrier and more frustrated. And I was trying to carry on that arc. I didn't want to change him from the last book. And now I'm pulling him back a little bit, and he's going to find a little happiness and a little bit of peace, because I think you couldn't sustain sort of that level of anger for that long, and I don't think Vince ever intended to, but it was realistic in the arc of the character. But otherwise, no. I mean, it's mostly people asking me to do stuff that they're interested in. Probably the biggest one I get is they want the prequel trilogy finished, because you had American Assassin and Killshot, what followed Mitch when he was very young, right out of college. And then clearly it was intended that there would be a third one, because there are all these loose ends. And I would actually love to do that at some point, but we'll see if it happens. Maybe with a movie coming out, there will be interest.
Excellent. Well, that was, you know, I'm going to jump around here a little bit to some of my questioning, which you can't see anyway. But, you know, you mentioned the character arc, and I think that that's something that sustains, you know, these series so long, is when there is a differentiation, and it's not where, you know, you can just pick up number 6, number 12, number 15, and it's, you know, just right from the start, and everything is all the same, just a different place and a different bad guy. You know, there's been I've seen some comments about the humor that has been reduced a little bit in some of the latest books. Is that something also that's, you know, intentional, that you thought that it just wasn't as appropriate given where he might be from a psyche standpoint, or is that also more of your style and personality coming out to be a little bit more, more direct and dark?
You know, I don't know if – I think in The Survivor – that was a very dark book, you know, because it was following The Last Man, which was really dark. And, you know, you had Mitch contemplating killing some of his closest friends. I mean, you had him crippling bouncers. I mean, he was not in a good place after the death of his wife. My books tend to have actually much more humor than Vince's did. So I purposely sort of tamped it down in The Survivor, to continue his style, from The Last Man and the mood of The Last Man. So with Order to Kill, you would see more, a little more humor, probably more than Vince has ever done. And that's probably going to continue on, because I have a hard time writing books without it. I feel like it sort of breaks the tension.
Sure. You also have him going to quite a few different places. How many of these did you have to actually visit yourself, or was this a heavy research type of a book for you?
Most of them, I don't really like writing books about places I haven't been. I always make mistakes, and it's kind of hard to really capture the quality of the place if you've never stood there. I have not, in the newer one, I've spent quite a bit of time in Turkey. I spent some time living in Istanbul, so that one's easy for me. I've not been to Russia, but what I was describing was northern Russia and kind of the Siberian area, and I live in Wyoming, and I think they're pretty much the same, so that wasn't too hard.
Sure, and people that are usually in northern Russia and Siberia don't usually talk much about it anyway, do they?
Probably not. Maybe not read the book.
you also give, I think, quite a bit of great action, but I don't think that it's an overkill in the details. One thing that we talk about a lot on the show is authenticity, and sometimes it comes off as, you know, being a requirement to be the hardware and the tactics and things like that. But I think you've got a really good balance. Is much of that intentional, or is part of that just based on even some of your knowledge base and comfort of covering areas that, you know, maybe you haven't experienced, you know, personally, or that just doesn't seem right in just research?
Yeah, you know, I've always been, or in my entire adult life, a really serious outdoor athlete. I've been a rock climber and a mountain biker, backcountry skier. And so I think that informs a lot of my action sequences, the how difficult they are, how tired you get, things like that. And I think probably that's going to lead me to creating action sequences that are a little more, I think, a little more grounded in the individual doing them. So Vince's action sequences tend to be more of a camera on the action. You saw what was happening, but you didn't really hear that much about what Mitch thought about it. You know, Mitch obviously is kind of a superhuman character. Mine are a little different in that they're more grounded in Mitch's thoughts and the difficulty of doing what he's doing. So, particularly in the new book, Order to Kill, where I put him up against an antagonist that's much more formidable than anyone that he's ever fought before. You know, he's thinking about, it's really hot, I'm really tired, this guy's 10 years younger than me, my right knee's kind of shot, and so the things, I guess, as a 50-year-old mountain bike racer and backcountry skier that I think about all the time.
Yeah, sounds good. And, you know, kind of speaking on that realism and detail level, I think one thing that many readers may miss is you capture a lot of the insider's view of agencies or even public servant attitude. And I'm assuming some of that may come from your father and even your life experiences around the FBI. How much of that does get into your writing, or is that just something that I'm, kind of making up on my own?
No, I mean, it permeates everything I do. I grew up, my father was FBI agent, director of Interpol, the legal attaché of the United Kingdom. And so that was my life from being a small child. I was always around FBI agents or CIA agents or spec ops guys or whatever. And so I absorbed a million characters and a million stories. And I think most people didn't think I remembered them. It's kind of funny. They'll think, well, you must have been 14 years old when we talked about that. But you think about being a young boy in a situation like that where these kinds of stories are being bandied around and they stick in your mind. So all those characters, their attitudes, the things that they'd done, the things that they weren't able to do, inform pretty much everything I write. I mean, it makes it a lot easier for me. I don't have to think too hard about it.
Sure. And you know, without saying anything sacrilegious, I think in many ways, the way that you've incorporated that, and I think that you've incorporated a little bit more into the human side of rap, to still be a badass, but not such a superhuman that you just can't imagine, you know, anybody doing that. It really gives a lot of realism that you're also adding to a lot more, I think, plot maturity. That being said, do you think that that's as noticeable to the readers? Do you think it's a little bit, you know, more refreshing to them, or do you have to still kind of, you know, balance the old way that things were versus, you know, the way that you prefer to write in your own style?
For me, that's a constant balancing act because, it wasn't broken and I'm not trying to fix it. Fans love the books.
Yeah.
I loved the books as a fan. But it is a little harder for me because I see the world in a much grayer way than I think Vince did as an author. And I have to always be on guard for that. I mean, I just wrote a chapter. I never go back after I've written a chapter until I'm done with the book because I find I can just get really bogged down. And I wrote a chapter just recently that was just the worst chapter I think I've ever written in my life. And I think it was because I was tired. I had just come back from tour and everything, and I sat down, and Mitch just didn't want to fight. He just wanted to go along and just let things happen, and that's very much not his character. It wasn't the way Vince saw the world, and I finished the chapter and thought, oh, my God, that was horrible. I mean, you know, Mitch is just kind of sitting there letting other people take charge and all this stuff, and I the next day I went back and rewrote it. I just thought, I can't even let that stand. It's keeping me awake at night.
That's good. Now, I know you've also, and this is, you know, I think this is some of the bias and maybe the, from a writer's standpoint or even the boo-hooing, you know, because you get a little bit jealous when you hear somebody that, you know, gets really a, such an honor to be able to take over for you know, such an esteemed writer and the series that's so well liked. I know, you know, in hearing that you were taking over, I kind of looked it up at the time and think, okay, well, I guess this guy's written a lot of books. But as I've read these books now that you've written for the Mitch Rapp series, I've also gone back and I've read your Ludlum books, and I've read your the ones that you wrote, you know, on your own about kind of the FBI stories. And they're really fantastic, and I would encourage, you know, readers to pick those up. I think that the work that you've done on your own series, incorporating the FBI, and likely, you know, from what you've learned as you know, growing up and all around you, is really fantastic. If you didn't have the constraints of maybe perception or where you think people want it, given that you've written, you know, some of the classic espionage like Ludlum, given that you've done some of these, I don't want to say it's like dark cop through the FBI, but, you know, it's really got its own unique flair too. Where would you take Mitch Rapp if all bets were off and they said, you just do whatever you want to do. If you want to kill off everybody else that you don't want to, you know, keep writing, go ahead and do it. What would you do with the story at this point?
That's an interesting question. Because I really loved the series for what it was, I don't know that I would change it that much. It's one of those things that when you picked up a Vince Flynn novel, you really wanted to read, you know, a Vince Flynn novel. And yeah. It's similar with Clancy. You know, you might be in the mood for Clancy. No, I'm going to read something long and really complex. Or I just want to read something fun and fast, and that in the end, you know, the good guys win and the bad guys lose. So I don't know. If I continue this series, I don't actually feel a lot of constraints other than the ones I put on myself. Certainly I'm not getting beat up by his family or his editors or agents or anything like that. I would kind of like to do something maybe a little more complicated about not only Syria, but also the refugees in Europe and the crisis there and the political crisis there, and take Mitch in a little bit different direction. That's what's fun about this, is taking the character that I always loved and throwing new stuff at him. That he's never had to face in Vince's novel. Like this one, he has the Russian antagonist, Grisha Azarov, who's pretty much as good as he is, and so he's worried. And we've never really seen Mitch worried. You know, he's always the better, faster, more accurate guy. And, you know, fighting somebody like the Russians or getting into a really nuanced area with the Europeans, I mean, that's what's happening now, and even relationships. You know, he's trying to get back into a relationship with a woman, even though he's been, you know, everyone he's had before has been a disaster.
Right.
And seeing and kind of contemplating how he's going to do that and if he can make it work, which is not something he's really done in the past.
No, that's good. To that point about, you know, where you might take it or what you've done, you know, I recognize that Vince liked to harp on some politicians, you know, political process, finance. Is there anything that's your pet interest? I know you've mentioned some of the outdoor activities, the climbing. But is there something that's more, you know, also pure you that creeps into the novels? That's really some of your interest of where you've liked and have thus taken a Mitch.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I mean, I think you nailed it with the outdoor stuff. Like in this book, you know, there's winter scenes where Mitch has to fight in the snow. I live in Wyoming and I spend a lot of my time in the backcountry in the winter. So those are also things that I feel like I can bring authenticity to because I've been there and done it all. So that's something I definitely enjoy. The politics, it's funny, a lot of people really liked that aspect of the books, but I find I'm not as hard on politicians as Vince was, in the sense that, you know, they do what they need to do to get reelected. So to a certain extent, I've known a number of politicians, and when you meet them privately, they're very different than when you see them on TV. So they're trying to please their constituents. So say to the extent that we consider them liars or sleazebags, they say, well, if I don't lie to you, you won't elect me. So you'll notice that I've kind of toned that down, which is, too, it comes in, the editor loves that kind of stuff, and so we always kind of duke it out that she wants more sort of him speaking truth to American politicians, and that, whereas I am more interested in the, you know, combating the America's enemies kind of thing.
Yeah, and I guess speaking of combating, it also seemed that in many of his books, the action didn't start off as soon. And I think some of yours brings it a little bit more to the forefront. Is that, again, something that's more of your style, or is that something that you feel over the last few years has evolved as a requirement to contemporary thriller books, where they say, you know, within the first few chapters, you've got to have an action scene? Any thoughts or remarks on that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that I considered Vince, you know, one of the greatest action thriller writers of all time, but you're exactly right. He did not start a single book he'd ever written with an action sequence, which is really funny if you think of it. Like, if you'd asked me as a fan, I'd have said, oh, sure, he always does that. But when you actually analyze his books like I did, you find out it's not the case. That is definitely a, you know, there are a few departures I made, not too many, but a few kind of conscious departures I made from his style, either because I didn't think I was good at what he was doing and couldn't pull it off, or because I thought it was a strength I had that I could bring to it. But it wasn't many. But one of them was the idea that you're going to have kind of set it up with a sort of tense action sequence, either in the prologue or the first few chapters. So
yeah,
that's something I definitely brought to that, and like I said, it always surprised me that Vince didn't. It was always my impression that he had.
That's great. With a lot of the experience that you do bring to the table, and that you are able to kind of seamlessly, you know, put together to either input your flair, your interest, and to carry on some of the historical aspects of it. Yeah, how would you say that your writing style has changed, really, even since writing Rising Phoenix?
I think I've gotten better at the craft of it, and I've gotten more confident to tackle different storylines and styles. So, I mean, I wrote a book that was kind of, it was first person, and it was sort of general fiction. You know, nobody got shot in it. There was nothing like that in it. And I would have never tried to do something like that before. With Vince's books, and I think you have to take the same attitude as he did. And I think he thought very hard about his fans at all times in writing his books. And what his fans wanted to see, what they would enjoy. Whereas my books, and that's something I think I've learned from him, my books I tended to write because it was a subject matter I was interested in, and I felt like writing about it. I wouldn't necessarily say a lot of consistency in the books that I've written under my own name. I mean, they have a certain style to some extent, but the subject matter goes all over the place, and probably the pacing and the level of action and the characterizations are all different.
And I've also read, I mean, I know that this is the first time that you and I have spoken directly. So in just, you know, any research that I've done on you or things that I've seen in your other interviews, it seems that you've read, I don't know if you've read the Safe Haven series. I won't put you on the spot there. But you've read Clancy, Anne Rice, George Orwell. With such classics like that and you such an esteemed writer also, you know, how would you like to be remembered as a writer, from what you've done or what you hope to do here in the future?
You know, I've always hoped people read my books, and this would be true of the series that I'm writing now so much, but took something away from it that they didn't understand before. I think to some extent, particularly with the modern media, people get very much surface information on things, and it tends to be spun for whatever audience that is. You know, if you watch Fox, it's going to be spun right. If you watch MSNBC, it's going to be spun left. You're not going to get much of a deep dive on it. And my hope is that I do that a little bit, and when you finish one of my books, you maybe come away with a little bit more of a nuanced view of what's going on. I mean, and I don't, like I said, I kind of purposely don't do this in Vince's books because that's not what made him fun. But if you think about Vince's books, he dealt with, you know, thousands and thousands of pages on Islamic terrorism. But I don't know that he ever mentioned Sunnis versus Shiites. I'm not sure those words have ever appeared in his books. So, and I totally understand why, because it's much, you know, more fun if you're writing a really linear action thriller to have sort of a monolith, as an antagonist. But, you know, that's, to me, a really interesting, the difference between those two groups and the tensions between them is super interesting. Unfortunately, it gets very complicated and sort of unsatisfying, and those aren't necessarily two things you want to, you know, use to describe a book you've written.
Sure. Is there anything in particular on this new book that you've written that you do hope that readers capture that doesn't just kind of get glossed over, something that you thought was pretty important or really, you know, something that you looked at and smiled and thought that was pretty cool?
Well, there is a little bit of me in the new one on this one, and it relates to Russia. I think there's this kind of sense, and I think it's been promoted that Russia is this resurgent country, that Vladimir Putin is this brilliant guy, and he's outsmarting us, and his military is incredibly dangerous. This country is very dangerous, and they are dangerous, but I think for the opposite reason. The Russia is extremely weak. It's probably as weak as it's been in hundreds of years. Vladimir Putin is a disaster. He's the largest country in the world. It's full of natural resources, and he can't even manage an economy the size of Italy. They don't make anything. They don't do anything. All he can do is stir up trouble in an effort to kind of keep the nationalism going in his people, so somebody has put a bullet in the back of his head. And that kind of, you know, he's got to keep the oligarchs happy or they'll have him killed. And so he's become incredibly sort of brutal and desperate dictator of a completely dysfunctional country. So the idea that they're a huge threat to the United States, I mean, sure, they can go beat up on some little country that doesn't have you know, a military and carve off a little. They can make trouble in Syria. But really, they're not the danger of Russia is the fact that he's kind of a wild animal in a corner, and there's nothing he won't do to maintain power, because the minute he loses it, somebody's going to either stick him in jail or kill him. So
yeah,
that is kind of the takeaway, as opposed to, oh, you know, this is the resurgence of the Soviet Union or something like that. They just don't have that kind of money.
Sure. So within the genre of, you know, thrillers, I know we got to cut this probably short because we got 90 seconds left, but if we do go over, it'll still be recorded. You know, within the thriller genre, you've got the subgenres, you know, whether it's, you know, espionage, political, war, things of that nature. Where do you see this book really fitting in? And do you see the landscape changing as technology changes, as there's more of a convergence of intelligence and military? Any thoughts on that?
I don't know, you know, as technology changes and things, I wonder sometimes if people, particularly Americans, like that. I always thought, you know, I was talking to somebody about Mitch Rapp versus James Bond, and, you know, you think of James Bond as being this very technological, suave bola guy, and I think the American hero is much more leather jacket, you know, Dodge Charger and a Glock.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of what we like. So I am bringing more technology into it because I think it's important, and it's something that fascinates me personally. But yeah, you're never going to see him with a exploding watch or you know, getting deep into computers and stuff. It just doesn't seem right for him.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you best of luck in the new book, and Is there anything else in conclusion that you want readers to know?
No, just I really hope they enjoy the book and that I've worked really hard to try to keep the spirit that Vince wrote them in alive.
Well, sounds good. Well, everything that I've read in it, and I'm coming up to the conclusion, it's fantastic. So I highly encourage folks to pick it up. So thanks again, and hopefully we can chat again on your next one.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Sounds great. Have a good one. Thanks.
You too.